The following is a special announcement for listeners of the Where is God's Word program with Bruce Musselman. On the morning of May 15th, Brother Bruce Musselman went home to be with the Lord following a short illness. His last new radio program aired just 8 days before his passing. Please join me in praying for the Musselman family and Bruce's friends and colleagues. For now and the next couple of months, we will be airing classic Bruce Musselman programs from our archives. We trust you will be edified and encouraged by these vintage programs. Now, let's join this week's edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantua Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we have a lot to thank God for. If you're saved, you know that when you die, you're going to heaven. But not only that, you know that the Lord is with you because Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you have his words for it in the Bible. And so our program tries to uphold the word of God. And we thank God we have it. I was recently looking at a book, and I'm going to read some things out of this book today that I think will be interesting and a blessing to you. But it's written by a man named Ray Comfort, and it's called Scientific Facts in the Bible. You might want to take this down because you could look it up in the internet and possibly order this. It's just a small book. I am not selling it, by the way. I'm just telling you it's something that's worth getting and giving to your friends. But it's only $5.99, and it's put out by Choice Books. And I'll say it again, Scientific Facts in the Bible, Ray Comfort. Fantastic little book. 100 Reasons to Believe the Bible is Supernatural in Origin. Now, I want to talk about today some scientific facts in the Bible that were written thousands of years ago. And I'm going to read out of his book today, and I think it'll be a blessing. But first of all, I want to start by saying what some individuals that were outstanding in Western civilization have stated about the Bible. Now, Sir Isaac Newton is one of them, and he was considered the father of modern science. He was a Bible believer, spent more time writing on prophecy in the Bible than he did on his tremendous and many scientific experiments. He attended a Baptist church regularly. And Sir Isaac Newton, the father of modern science, according to this book, said these wise words: "We account the scriptures of God to be the most sublime philosophy. I find more sure marks of authenticity in the Bible than in any profane history whatsoever." Father of modern science. You know, even the conqueror Napoleon believed the Bible. He says this: "The Bible is no mere book, but a living creature with a power that conquers all that oppose it. I never omit to read it, and every day with new pleasure." He also wrote about Jesus: "I knew men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creations of our genius? Upon force. Jesus Christ founded his empire upon love, and at this hour, millions of men would die for him." This is by Napoleon, Emperor of France. Theodore Roosevelt believed the Bible. "No educated man can afford to be ignorant of the Bible. Thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education," according to Theodore Roosevelt. Patrick Henry believed the Bible. "Here is a book worth more than all the other books which were ever printed. Yet it is my misfortune never to have, till lately, found time to read it with proper intention or feeling." Patrick Henry. Here's Andrew Jackson, President of the United States and conqueror at the Battle of New Orleans. "That book, sir, is the rock upon which our republic rests." Andrew Jackson. I'm going to skip over a few of them here, but Woodrow Wilson. "There are a good many problems before the American people today and before me as president, but I expect to find the solution of those problems just in the proportion that I am faithful in the study of the Word of God. Here's Thomas Jefferson. I have always said and always will say that the studious perusal of the sacred volume will make us better citizens, better fathers, and better husbands. Franklin D. Delano Roosevelt, the president during World War II, we cannot read the history of our rise and development as a nation without reckoning the place the Bible has occupied in shaping the advances of the Republic. It is a fountain of strength and now is always an aid in attaining the highest aspirations of the human soul. Robert E. Lee, in all my perplexities and distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength. Ulysses S. Grant, President of the United States and conqueror in the war between the states, hold fast to the Bible as the sheet anchor of your liberties. Write its precepts in your hearts and practice them in your lives. Now, here's Winston Churchill, who led England during the Second World War, but Winston Churchill was not only Prime Minister of England, but he was a great historian who wrote the history of England. He said, "Let men of science and learning expound their knowledge and prize and probe with their researches every detail of the records which have been preserved to us from those dim ages. All they will do is fortify the grand simplicity and essential accuracy of the recorded truths which have lighted so far the pilgrimage of men." And then we have Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan says this, "Within the covers of the Bible are all the answers for all the problems men face. All the answers for all the problems men face." And I believe that with all my heart and soul, because I see the problem comes up and they're trying solutions that simply don't work. And everything that the Bible says, it works. And the Bible is a source of joy, a source of peace, source of family tranquility, and it's a source of unity in our country, where there is unity. The Bible can touch hearts, order minds, and refresh souls. George Washington, what does he say about the Bible? He says this, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God or the Bible. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor." And then in a prayer that he wrote, George Washington says this, "Direct my thoughts, words, and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb." And I'll tell you, he had it right. That's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The Bible says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin," and he believed it. "And purge my heart by thy Holy Spirit, daily frame me more and more into the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ." And he has written hundreds of pages of his prayers that you can read, and he was certainly a believer. Dwight Eisenhower, what did he say about the Bible? "The Bible is endorsed by the ages. Our civilization is built upon its words. In no other book is there such a collection of inspired wisdom, reality, and hope. It takes no brains to be an atheist. Any stupid person can deny the existence of a supernatural power because man's physical senses cannot detect it. But they cannot be ignorant the influence of conscience, the respect we feel for the moral law, the mystery of first life, or the marvelous order in which the universe moves about us on the earth. All these evidences are the handiwork of the beneficent deity. That deity is the God of the Bible and Jesus Christ, his son." Dwight David Eisenhower. He was the leader of the United States armies when they invaded Europe to overthrow Nazi Germany. And he was also one of our great presidents. Kept us out of war, kept the economy good. Christopher Columbus, he says this, "It was the Lord who put it into my mind. I could feel his hand upon me. There is no question the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit, because he comforted me with rays of marvelous illumination from the Holy Scriptures." He's a Bible reader. That's probably where he got the idea the earth is round, because the Bible says that. Abraham Lincoln, here's what he says. "I believe the Bible is the best gift God has given to man." Have you ever read the Bible systematically? The best gift God gave to man? He also said, whereas it is the duty of nations as well as men to own their dependence upon the overruling power, if to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. You know, as long as we were praying to the Lord, you know, the Lord was helping this nation over and over again. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. You know, grace means a free gift that God has given us to through Jesus Christ of salvation. And then he goes on, he says, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behoves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Abraham Lincoln, 1863, in declaring a day of national fasting, prayer, and humiliation. Here's what Congress said of the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God, according to the United States Congress, in a joint resolution requesting the President proclaim 1983 as the year of the Bible, declared, the Bible, the Word of God, has made a unique contribution in shaping the United States as a distinctive and blessed nation and people. Deeply held religious conviction springing from the Holy Scriptures led to the early settlement of our nation. Biblical teachings inspire concepts of civil government that are contained in our Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. And praise God for the Bible. He's given us an incredible book of wisdom. And it's true when it speaks of history. It's true when it speaks of archaeology. It's true when it speaks of science. It's true when it speaks of salvation. And some of you have never systematically read it through. And I hope that some of the things that this program says will help you to do that. But take a short break and then we'll continue.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
If you would like to write us, we would always be glad to hear from you. And we give out a paper that shows 100 places where the names of Jesus have been taken out of the modern perversions of the scripture, and I call them counterfeits. And just in the New, these places are just in the New Testament. We give the exact reference, so you can check them with whatever you have. And we stand here in this program from the King James Bible. The text behind the King James is translated into the languages of Europe, and there's hundreds of these ancient Bibles that came long before the Protestant Reformation that are in museums in Europe today. And people did have the true Word of God back then. They had it in their language. And the ancient Greek manuscripts of King James is based on the italic text is over 99% of the versions of the ancient Bible versions. And it's based on the true text. But the program is to uphold the Bible. And so if you just turned in, we were reading what some of the outstanding people in Western civilization had to say about the Word of God. Now, I've been reading from a book, and I believe it really is worth you getting. It says on the back here, $5.99, and it has 100 reasons to believe the Bible is supernatural in origin. And that's what we believe here. We believe that God has given us the Word of God, and it came from God, and it is supernatural. And so it absolutely is true. And the more you study it, the more that you know it is true. Our faith is based on evidence. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we have something that is based on absolute fact that we can rely on, that is proven to God by God. God didn't tell us that, you see, salvation is in Jesus Christ. And it's just not a leap in the dark. Our souls, it's dependent on what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ, where we'll spend eternity, whether it's in heaven or hell. And God didn't say that it was simply a leap in the dark or something that we made up emotionally or we feel. But it is based on absolute truth and absolute fact, which can be proven. When Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says he was shown to be alive by many infallible proofs. And so we have evidence that the Bible is God's word, and the whole Bible talks about Jesus Christ. All 66 books, from Moses and the prophets to John in the book of Revelation. Now, in the Tanakh of the Old Testament, we have a number of scientific statements, and I want to read these. And this book is called Scientific Facts in the Bible by Ray Comfort. Scientific Facts in the Bible, Ray Comfort. And I would invite you to get this from the internet. You can order this, and it is a fantastic book, and it's worth reading. Now, the book of Job was written in 1520 BC, and it was filled with scientific facts. Study the book of Job and its comparison with the latest scientific discoveries has brought me to the mature conviction the Bible is an inspired book and was written by the one who made the stars. This was stated by Charles Burkhalter Chabot Observatory. This is an astronomer that states that. Now, the book of Job talks about air mass. Scripture tells us in Job 28:25 that there is a weight for the wind. When they find that out? A lot later. Long before it was recognized that the air had weight, 16th century, the Bible said that it did. It also tells us the water has weight. The fact that so much water covers the earth means that the effects of the sun and moon's gravity are balanced perfectly. The energy is dissipated in the water. The weight of the water is precisely measured by God. And the book of Job and the earth's rotation. For ages, scientists believed in a geocentric view of the universe. And then we have further on here in the book of Job, it talks about the springs of the sea. Modern deep sea diving cameras have discovered amazing hot water vents on the floor of the oceans. So Job says the springs of the sea, which are mentioned in Job 38:16. These thermal vents release huge amounts of mineral-rich, superheated water, springs in the darkness. And so the Bible talks about these springs in the sea thousands of years ago, and we only found that out recently. The book of Job and light. Sir Isaac Newton studied light and discovered that white light is made of seven colors, which can be parted from the white. In Job chapter 38, verse 24, and then recombined to make white again. Science discovered this in 1650, according to Richard Gunther. And this is found in Job 38:24. Job 38:19 asked this, and this is a scripture verse from there, where is the way where light dwells? Modern man has only recently discovered that light, electromagnetic radiation, has a way. In empty space, the speed is approximately 186,000 miles per second. And yet the Bible talks about that. And so the Bible tells us about ourselves. It tells us about mankind. It tells us about God. And we don't have to wander in the darkness. You know, some people teach God is unknowable, and that's an absolute statement. How do they know he's unknowable? Well, the Bible teaches everywhere that we can know God. And in the Tanakh and in the prophets, it talks about who God is, and it gives us details about how he operates. And this eternal God has revealed himself, showed himself to man in history. And one day, Abraham was sitting in his tent, and God showed up in the form of a human being. And all through the Bible, God was showing up in the form of a human being. Finally, in the New Testament, God comes to earth and he takes on a human body in the womb of Mary. Well, Jesus said that he was God. For instance, he was talking to the Jewish leaders one day, and they knew about Moses. And when God spoke to Moses, he said, Moses said, "Well, who shall I say sent me?" And God said, "Say, I am sent me, sent you." And some of the Jews probably knew that title, "I am that I am." And that means he's the eternal one. And so when they were talking to Jesus, Jesus said, "Before Abraham, I am." And he was using the title of the eternal God. I think to me it is fascinating that this eternal God that created the heavens and the earth has spoken to us in a very, very clear-cut manner. So all through the Old Testament, the 39 books, he tells us all about himself. And then he shows up 2,000 years ago. When was it? 2,012 years ago, he shows up on the earth. And he claimed to be God over and over. All his disciples claimed that he was God. And they went out and they told the world that story. And when Jesus, when they were asking him, he says, "If you don't believe me for any other reason," and he said, "Moses and the prophets spoke of him. He had a passport when he came to the world." He said, "Believe me for the very work's sake that I do." You know, when they would get leprosy, they had to put a cloth over their mouth and say, yell unclean, so nobody would come close to them. And their body was full of these horrible sores and scabs, and it would eat their fingers, and it would eat their face out, and holes and gaps in their face, and people would have to stay far from them. And Jesus went up and touched them, and the leprosy went away, and their skin turned to like the skin of a newborn baby. One day, Jesus met a blind man, and he was born blind. And Jesus picked up the mud from the earth, and we're made out of the dust of the earth, and he made eyeballs for him right on the spot. What he was saying by that is, "I'm the creator. I made him in the first place, but I'm finishing the job right now so that you could see who I am." He said, "Believe me for the work's sake." In the case of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and they found their coffins today over in Israel, and they have them over there. And Lazarus died, and his sisters called for Jesus, and he waited for a purpose so that they would see who the glory of God was. And so finally he gets there, and Mary says to Jesus, or Martha says to Jesus, "If you'd have come, why, this wouldn't have happened." But he says, "Even now, if you pray to God, he'll give you what you want." And Jesus made a statement that no human being could ever make and prove it. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life." He was simply saying there, "I put man together in the first place, and I can put him back together. Take me to the tomb." Somebody might even make that statement, but they couldn't say, "Take me to the tomb." And Lazarus was dead for 4 days, and his body stunk, and they had wrapped him up, and they had put him in a cave. So they get there, and Jesus says, "Roll away the stone." And then he said, so that the people would believe, he said, "I say to you, Lazarus, come forth." And that man that was dead for 4 days was raised from the dead right on the spot. But Jesus did it a number of times. When he was on the boat in the sea was, water was coming into the boat, and they were afraid that it would drown, and there was a big storm. And Jesus spoke to the storm, and they were amazed. And the storm suddenly stopped. And, you know, there's not just many people in ancient history. Maybe one writer has written about them. There is 4 Gospels about him and told the details from their perspective. If you see an accident, a good witness would, people would see it from different directions, but they would tell what they would see, and there would be a harmony of thought. They wouldn't say the exact same thing. So you see in the Gospels a harmony of thought, and they were written right at the time of the apostles. You know, when the man cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest when Jesus was being arrested, and Jesus healed the man's ear. And 3 of the Gospels don't tell who did it. But John tells who did it, and John said it was Peter, but John was the last one to write the Gospel, and probably the other ones didn't tell because Peter was still living, and if they would have told, he would have been in trouble. We have something that is a sure foundation, And that's the Word of God. And Jesus is called the Word of God because he was actually the writer. He wrote it through men. But we have the very mind of Almighty God in the Bible. And many of these great men, but millions of people, scientists and historians, philosophers, religious people, all kinds of people, they have read that book and they know that it came from God. And the Bible says, as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And if you repent of your sins and receive him as Lord, that means he's the boss and he's Lord through the Bible. You go by what the Bible says. You'll have eternal life and you can count on it. You can know it now. When you die, you'll know you're going to heaven. Well, God bless you. You have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mattaway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.